superstars on this stage here tonight. But I want y'all to know one thing.
What? Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Lebanon.
Boy, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, December 21st, 2025. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Okay. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. I understand. I mean, I'm having self-reflection and realizing that maybe I'm focusing a little too much on who I don't want to listen to the podcast, and maybe I should focus more on who I want to. But until then, it's my goddamn podcast. Yes, continuing with tradition, I'm going to ask all you listeners, shout out to all you listeners, and before we continue, it's important for me that you applied yourselves. Get up, and applaud yourselves. That's right. One, I'm gonna shout out all my. I like to start out by shouting out you listeners, just like an acknowledgement. But at the same time, I want to target those of you who are part of my target demographic of listeners, and you're like me, and you have this habit of applauding everyone except your own self. So. Consider this a breaking of habits, breaker of chains. Also, shout out if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Yes, that includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. It happens. And assuming you stick around, here's hoping I say something on this episode that allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Excuse me. In today's episode, I will share some thought on a thought by Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson, something he said about getting old. And but before we do that, we're gonna start with some quotables and some randomness. All right, so today's quotable, I only have one, and it goes, a great man is hard on himself, a small man is hard on others. Confucius. Now, how the fuck would he know back in those days? This is one of those. I hope it's true type of quote. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's true, but I'd like for it to be true. But that's it. All right, let's start. Let's continue off with some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. First bit of randomness. Yes. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And because for especially at work, so this is probably the first time in a while I've chosen to work during the holidays. You know why? Because it's usually quiet. You ain't got shit to do. You just like twiddling your thumbs. Some folks are doing their Christmas shopping, so they pretend to be at work. My boss is gone. My boss is on vacation, so it should be chill. So my intention at work is not doing shit or cursing out anyone who puts me in a position where I have to do shit. Usually that's what happens. You'll get a client who's like, really? Really? This fire needs to be put out now? Really? You can't wait till New Year's? And the other thing, too, is I you know what? I'm going to play this clip. It's going to summarize my thought.
Do you have any weed?
I have some weed.
Can you spare any, or is it all smoking form?
I mean, like, what are we talking? Like, are we talking like
just
a lot of weed?
Just enough to get me baked for like a week.
That's That's a lot of weed.
Yeah, well, I'm taking vacation next week, so.
Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay in my apartment.
You're just going to get baked?
I want to be baked the whole time. Watch TV. I'll probably rewatch Gandhi.
I remember the first time I saw that clip, I'm like, yo, you and me, sister. Yeah, that time of the year, man, I ain't doing shit except orbiting, I call it orbiting planet Earth. I might do an episode while orbiting planet Earth. Oh, wait, weed's legal. Wait, holy fuck, I forgot. Yeah, yeah, weed's legal now. But yeah, the idea of just chilling is so appealing to me. I feel sorry for those. See, I think that's part of why I didn't have any kids. The idea that I feel sorry for those of you who are like, Christmas is your most busy season, busy, hectic season. I couldn't do it. I'd go nuts.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Oh, by the way, that clip I just played was from the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin. And maybe I should give credit in that. Whatever, man. Figure it out. So why? What's the next one I had? Again, randomness. I've been enjoying watching YouTube documentary about D-Day, Stalingrad. Am I pronouncing that right? Stalingrad. The Battle of the Battle of the Bulge? Is that coming? Wait, Battle of the Bulge. Kinky. All right. And these are just essentially the moments during World War II where it was the beginning of the end for Hitler. And especially, you know, hindsight is 2020, because you know, most of these documentaries, they talk about it. It's like, what the fuck was Hitler thinking? What a fucking idiot. Because around then, that dude was really feeling himself. And I guess around those areas where people would say it was the beginning of the end from him, and he was like straight fucking up. And when you're like in that position, I guess you're just riding on your own. You're like a gambler. I'm not familiar with gambling. My dad put the fear of God in me about it, but that's a different conversation. But it felt like dude was like, yo, I've been successful not listening to you motherfuckers, so I'm going to continue doing it. Whatever. But his arrogance became the advantage of the enemy, of his enemies. But it is interesting hearing all these documentarians, they're not historians, but these narrators talk about what the fuck, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, what a fucking idiot. This dude was hoping the weather would still be bad, but like, I don't know if during when it happened, people were like, yo, this dude's an idiot. Whatever. Or is it easier to look back and be like, yeah, that dude made a lot of stupid decisions. But at the time, homie was desperate. Homie was like, I can't stop doubting myself. I got to start, whatever. Okay. But that's not the point. The reason why I enjoy these documentaries, aside from the historical perspective, and I love history. I love learning about history. It's more hope. the idea that everyone has their day. I think about like Trump, for example, because Trump is doing a lot of shit. Except I would like to believe it's going to end with him either in a bunker, swallowing him and Melania. I doubt Melania's going to stick around for that shit. But him in a bunker about to swallow a cyanide pill. Or because ideally, it would be great if it ended with him being like, the errors of my ways, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to get forgiveness. It's not going to end like that, like in the movies. Like he's going to have a insight and be like, wow, I've been doing some bad shit. But yes, the idea of the beginning of the end. I say I hope, but it's just, it's, it's more the reminder that this too shall pass. The atrocities committed by Israel. I'm thinking of, I watched the comedy special by Dave Chappelle. And spoiler alert, his last joke is how it ends with him saying, yeah, I will never side with Israel. What's the line he says? I love that line. But it was also a reminder of how I can't listen to news going on in that part of the world just because budget my sensitivity. I gotta protect my mental health. If I listen too much of what's going on in Gaza, I'm just going to snap. But it's more the idea that one day it's going to end. It needs to end. Now, the unfortunate part is it doesn't end like happy ending. It usually, like, there's a chance that Trump might go to his grave and or get off like George Bush did and Dick Cheney. Who knows? I don't know if he went to his grave with regrets, but it's never going to be a satisfying ending, but it's the idea that they're going to be replaced by other monsters, but I don't know. Look, all I'm saying is I enjoy watching these documentary of the final days for Hitler. I enjoy hearing these, because I imagine up until that point, shit must have felt hopeless. That's really what it is. It's the moments where things get hopeful. So yeah, on my long list of the Trumps, Israel, or anyone else out there who takes pleasure or is getting off on making life difficult for others. Or treat people like shit. No, maybe I feel like Bodhi. Again, you have to watch The Wire to understand this reference. I feel like Bodhi when he encounters Marlowe, and he's like, yo, his kind's gotta fall. I think that's what it is. That's what I'm feeling like. It's like his kind's gotta fall. And the reality is I may never be around for when they meet their end or when they stop doing the bad shit that they're doing. But yeah, anyway, well, I'm going off topic. But the point is, I've been enjoying watching these documentaries, especially on YouTube, because I ain't paid for it. Especially on YouTube.
So you're a philosopher?
Speaking of entertainment that I've been enjoying is last night I watched, Running Man 2025, the 25 edition of Running Man, the remake of Running Man. I remember first time I saw the trailer for it, I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. Like, I have no reason to watch it. And so I watched out of sheer curiosity. I'm also like, yo, why are you trying to remake a classic? Why are you trying to repaint the Mona Lisa? Anyways, I remember there's no fucking way I'm going to watch it in theaters. No way. Anyway, but I watched it from the comfort of my home, and I gotta say, I won't give it a 10, but it was a fun watch. It wasn't a great movie, but I mean, it was a fun watch. I guess that's the bottom line. It was a fun watch. I was actually impressed, and especially with the casting, the direction they went with it. It's not one of those movies that I would recommend you watching, because I know a lot of you would go see it and then hate me for it. What the fuck were you thinking? But what counts is I had fun. And at the core of it, it's not a spoiler, but I think this is what makes it also interesting, is how Running Man is about a white man who's willing to go to the ends of the earth to support his black family. That's what makes this movie kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of crazy too, but it's compared to the Arnold Schwarzenegger version of the movie. Look, long story short, it was a fun watch. And also it helps I was high when I watched it, Not to say that you have to be high to watch it, but it's when I watch movies high, I suspend the part of me that's like, this shit doesn't make sense or whatever, man. It's like, fuck it. Whatever the writer wants me to believe, I'll go with it. Yo, and honestly, and the actors, every actor in there I didn't think that would be good or I thought was a bad idea. I'm like, oh, yeah. Again, it was a fun movie. Fun to watch. Yo, don't get me wrong. No, not Sinners fun. It was its own category of fun. Again, a white man. That's the other thing, too. You got to suspend reality. A white man willing to go to the ends of the earth for his black family. Not to say that white man can't do that, but it was interesting. Look, I enjoyed watching it. And yeah, you got nothing to do during the holidays like I do, and you plan on getting baked? Give it a shot. All right, that's wow, that's kind of short. That doesn't matter. Whatever, man. It's the holidays. I'm and I'm planning on working too hard. But my point is, this is it for randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yeah, I'm gonna end every randomness with that quote. And now it's time for final say. But before we do that, we're gonna take a very quick break. Okay, for this one, I'm not going to play the whole clip because it's a 14-minute message, but I am going to play a portion of it. And this is Neil deGrasse Tyson, thoughts about getting old. Why this is important is because on previous episode, I talked about how not just black men, but as men, I feel like we don't have a lot of examples of aging gracefully, or what to do, how to not be depressed while being old or not seeing it as the end. And the idea came to me when Oprah, and she mentioned how her example of aging with grace was Still I Rise, lady. May she rest in peace. I'm really going to forget her name. Maya Angelou. Yeah, her example was Maya Angelou. So this is what I'm sharing. Anyway, whatever. So it's my goddamn podcast. So let's do this. Here we go.
Chuck, I got another explainer for you.
Awesome.
I wanted to spend some time talking about getting old.
Are you feeling it, bro?
I just had my birthday a few days ago.
Okay. Yes. Happy belated. Just
chalking them up. You know what? I don't want to say disturbs me. You know what concerns me?
Mm-hmm.
How much advertising swirls around a person's effort to not look old?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, because we live in a youth-obsessed culture.
Correct.
So what happens is your value decreases as you appear to be older.
And meanwhile, there's another part of that marketplace that feeds people's urges to look older, like preteens.
Yes.
Here's how to put on makeup and you can look older.
Oh, dude, look at you. This is profound. Go ahead.
No. So up to a certain age, they're marketing things to you so that you look older than your age.
Right.
And then after a certain age, they market things to you so that you can look younger.
This is a grift.
So I think a lot about this.
Okay.
And then I ask myself, how do I feel about getting older?
All right. I played it again, but for you, I just played the intro where he talks about the introduction to getting older and the portion about this youth-obsessed culture that we live in, which is so true. I remember a friend of mine when I was a young youth, an older dude, bringing up the fact that, okay, he didn't use the word youth-obsessed culture, but he did say that when you're in your 30s, how you get closer to the point, you stop being part of the demographic that marketing focuses on. You get left behind. All you get is like ads for Cialis, retirement, whatever, old age home, or, about to kick the bucket. you know, and you get catered by Fox News. Don't you miss the old days till the fucking immigrants took over? Don't you miss when Pluto was a planet? Like, yes, I do. And whatever, it's shit like that. But so all this to say, it's a 14-minute clip. I'll let you check it out for yourself. I won't ruin it, but I did write down a few ideas that he mentioned that I'm keeping it for myself. I mean, that I'll share with you is how I feel about getting old. I won't lie. I recently turned 50, and I remember actually on my 50th birthday, I chose to celebrate it alone because I wanted to feel what I wanted to feel. Allow myself to feel what I don't want to be surrounded by people who like, man, you got to be happy. It's your birthday. And I'm like, I felt all kinds of feelings. I went from depressed to happy to all of them, man. There was moments where I wanted to cry and there was moments I wanted to be like, yeah, reminded myself, dude, you're on a fucking cruise by yourself that you can afford. You paid this shit. When you're back, you'll be done paying for it. Like I was, you know, it was bittersweet. I guess that's what I'm getting at. But I do remember hitting when I was 45. Oh, that was 2020, right? Yeah, no, 2020 was like a dark chapter. And it was enough to go into, now I remember. Yeah, it was enough to go into, it was enough for me to drag myself into therapy. And out of all the reasons why I was feeling down, it was, and all of it, but getting old was part of it. It's kind of fucked up that my therapist is younger than me, and sometimes I'm a little bit iffy about whether she's the right person to guide me into getting older. But so far, she has said, stuck to the great points. It's like, it's not over. Like, getting me to drop the idea that, well, it's over. I'm the old guy in the club. Ain't shit for, only thing left for me to do is just wait to die. Stay black and die. Hold on to that. And she was like, it was interesting. Okay, what I learned was the things can be different. Part of what made me feel depressed about getting older was more about the kind of life that I lived and realizing that the life I live was all other people's decisions. I wasn't the captain as much as I thought I was, but I wasn't in charge of my own life, which part of what made this life depressing. Actually, I still remember because I didn't live up to other people's expectations. That added to the, oh, that's why you're a failure. So once I had that realization, it's like, you know what? I've been playing this game of life under other people's rules. Maybe I can play this game of life differently. Oh, I wrote down as reliving the glory days. That's another point that he Neil deGrasse Tyson touches on. But I wrote down reliving the. I wrote that down because I was thinking about a. I was scared of these days. Of as a young person, there was a time where I was scared of being in this position. Of that's it. I remember I was probably in my early 20s with my cousin. I was having dinner with his mom and a friend of his mom, and they were talking to each other. His mom and the older guy was talking to each other, and he was talking about being his early days, about being 20s, and he used the words, "Those were the best days of my life," and I remember being mad. Well, I thought I was mad at him, but it was more the, is that what's going to happen? There's going to be a peak to this shit? Exactly. What happens after the peak? And I didn't have any answers. And instead of like thinking about it, I just was angry at this guy for not having the answers. But I guess I'm grateful to, I don't know if there are areas where I do, but I like to believe that I'm not the type. Or there's not areas in my life where I'm reliving the glory days. There, you can tell. There are people, you could, they peaked at high school. That's actually a point that he brings up at, I'm not sure if it was, oh, yes. Neil deGrasse touches on is learning. That's what he's got going for him as an older person. So he may not be able to fuck like he used to. He may not get, he doesn't bring that up, but he talks about how he used to dance and shit like that. He may not, the physical part, his physical ability is not that great. Actually, I love that he brought it up. He may not be, you know, get a touchdown like he used to. But what he can do is his mind is still working. He can still keep that going. The biggest takeaway I got from it is it's still not too late for me to learn. And it's still not too late for me to have new accomplishments. Now, I may not be the porn star that I've always wanted to be when I was a kid. But I can own a porn shop. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm this is what I wrote. I said, wait, what I wrote that? The best days. Oh, right. The best days of the rest of my life. I used to, there's a, fuck. I can't remember where I got this. One new year, there used to be, or I used to say this at people's birthday. And it was like, may this birthday be the beginning of the best days of the rest of your life. That's the hard part, I guess, when you get older, is believing that you still haven't lived, you still haven't experienced your best days yet. It's, look, when you get older, yeah, your biggest thing is, your challenge is, are you going to be bitter or are you going to be better? I'm going to tie it to a point I was trying to make earlier is he's one of the fortunate people, and I believe that too, is who didn't stop learning after high school or after school. One thing actually I did say, okay, I didn't stop learning after school, but one thing that did stop for me was seeking accomplishment. Like in school, there was always an objective. First grade, second grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. You know, primary school. I don't know how you guys call it in the States, whatever. But primary school, grade, whatever, is high school. Well, junior high. Then after junior high, there's high school. After high school, college, university, whatever the fuck. And then after, you get a job, have a family, have the blue, the white picket fence, and you sell out on your people, and you vote conservative. Right. So on one end, I'm grateful that I kept up the desire. I hated school. Don't get me wrong. Truth be told, I hated school, but I loved to learn. But that didn't die. That part of me that likes to learn still existed. What I didn't pick up from school was setting objectives. I can't answer the question of where do you see yourself in 5 years? Likely dead. Heart attack. Whatever the fuck. It's green. But yeah, setting up. So I talk a lot on this podcast about how on this podcast we celebrate small victories. But I still need big victories. But I think while listening to him, Mr. deGrasse talk, Neil deGrasse Tyson talk, I'm going to call him NDT, NDT talk or NDGT talk. Okay, Neil deGrasse talk. While listening to him talk, I was thinking about how I think that's what's missing from my own life. Accomplishments. Bigger, like, actually said, now I remember. There was a time where I thought I was going to be a preacher. Yeah, that's interesting. Eh? Instead of becoming a preacher, I became a former Christian. Because it was later in my life that I developed, figured out that I had a skill for speaking in front of an audience. Or it's not just the skill, but I also enjoyed doing it. So then I did comedy. And I remember, and then I was in comedy, and that's what's funny. Yeah, I was comedy, but that gave me a sense, like an infrastructure of the next levels, even though I wasn't achieving them. It's funny. So I was doing comedy, telling myself, okay, this is the ladder. This is where, this is going to be where I find my series of accomplishments. But while doing that, I found myself hating the fucking game of politics or the job of politics, trying to get promoted from open micer to doing his own shows and all that. Oh man, shit, the politics just drove. It was starting to feel like work. I guess, I've been taken for granted that at some point I need to get to a next level with this podcast. I'm saying it. Doesn't mean I'm going to act on it. I'm just having that realization. That's it. But yeah. But you know what? Okay, I guess the other thing too is maybe I shout out to my therapist because she sent me on a Christmas card. And one sentence that I like that she wrote and it like sparked something in me. And she says, "The progress we've made." And it's also the realization that I've taken that shit for granted. So I spent most of the time being, oh, you're a failure, this and that. But while forgetting the accomplishments I did, that's why I'm in the habit of celebrating small victories. But what I forgot was you still need the big ones. Don't give up on the big ones. The smaller ones gives you the confidence to get greater accomplishments. Those were the best days of my life. All right. So the last point that I'm sticking into is I guess I need to remind myself on the good things about getting old. It's easy to forget. It's easy to just swallow in self-pity about the fact that you're old and your good old days are gone and that you can't get it up. I made a lot of sexual references. I understand. I get it, right? But that's a big thing. I found myself needing to get out of the habit of, there's a part of me that still thinks he's young. He still thinks he's the high school kid. And I'll see like a younger woman, not high school woman, but a younger woman and be like, oh, she's hot. Let me get her digits and be like, oh, wait a minute. She's the same age as your homie's daughter. As a matter of fact, you might know her grandparents. It's not like, I guess it's been hard to objectify women. That's interesting. That's interesting. As I got older, I got better at, I've developed the, but look, this is a shot at me, by the way, what I'm about to say next. I realize what I'm about to say is insulting, but I've been better at, I've matured, and I've been better at acknowledging the humanity of the opposite sex. Up until that point, it was like, I just saw women as a means to an end, and that end was busting a nut. But now you just, shit I've learned as getting older is appreciating friendship, valuing friendship. What was it on, I think it was on Black Guy Who Tips. They had a comedian, Mike. They were talking about how people who use the words like, oh, I'm just a friend. What the fuck? People who like treat romantic relationship as superior to just friendship. The good thing about getting old is fucking wisdom. I guess that's what it is. Wisdom. Seeing the world, the better scope. I think one of my favorite parts about getting old that I wouldn't trade for shit is the confidence. The giving a fuck less. giving a fuck less. Look, there was a lot of one of the things that when I was in therapy, and I still am in therapy, but I remember bringing it up, is I don't want to let go of when I was feeling like death was just around the corner. It was an empowering thought. And I'm like, look, as much as I'm enjoying all this healing in therapy, I don't want to lose that guy, that version. The part that was like, yo, doesn't matter, you're going to die. That was my motto. Doesn't matter, you're going to die. It won't matter. In the grand scheme of thing, in the infinites of this universe, this shit won't matter. So holding on to the idea that one day, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. As much as that shit is depressing, but come on, this shit is a fucking rental. Make the best out of it. But the other thing I wouldn't trade for shit is the confidence, the not giving a fuck. I was listening to this, I was reading this, on the subreddit. It's called Am I Overreacting? And this woman, she's talking about just exchange she's having with her boyfriend, or this man she was dating and she was going to break up with. And I forget what the scenario was, but I remember thinking, "Oh, you, am I overreacting?" And my answer was, no, you're in the right. Who gives a fuck? Fuck them. Look, don't get me wrong. I haven't perfected the art of not giving a fuck about other people's opinion. But I like the fact that I'm better at it. Better, yeah. So I'd say out of everything that I like about getting old is, this is interesting, is not giving a fuck. Actually, I this is just me being entertaining. I go to this gym called, OTF, Orange Fitness Training. And it's a group setting, and they're big on, you could be like, you're one class and you could be with advanced folks and you could be beginners like me, old dudes like me. And yeah, man, I like the fact that, what I was going to say is, when I do my exercise, I'm all about form. I'm fuck the weights. Let me make sure I do the shit right. I ask questions. I make sure that, okay, this is why I'm doing this and whatever. I do everything right. But most importantly, I'm not trying to impress. I'm not gawking at chicks. Worried that, oh, fuck, I got to bench 200 because she's looking at me. Fuck that. I'm not trying to impress the gym bros. I'm focused on myself. That's what's been different than what I used to do in the past. You know, actually, I remember I was, a while back, actually, when I was in my 40s, early, when I turned 40s, I remember I was trying to take my health seriously, and I hired a gym trainer. And I remember telling the dude that I want your passion. I want to be the guy who goes to the gym on New Year's Eve. Not because he feels he has to, not just because it's a habit, but I want to stop feeling like going to the gym is like eating shit. It's the equivalent of eating shit. I want to not hate going to the gym. And of course, this dude, he was good at what he does, but not good at accomplishment. I think it went one ear out the other. I don't think he understood what the fuck I was trying to say. I think he just took for granted that, well, you just go to the gym because, you know, you want to look slim and you want people to stop calling you fat. No. I want to find my own internal reasons for going to the gym. He didn't get that. Oh, I'm giving you this long story to say that, yo, homeboy failed like a motherfucker. After that, yo, after that session, we went our separate ways, but I remember developing more negative thoughts about the fitness industry and how everyone who goes to the gym suck type of thing. But what helped was not comparing to other fucking people. That was a big thing. Now, the reason why I laughed at the earlier is because I'm used to being the only black dude in the gym. And last session I was at, there was another black dude in there. And this motherfucker, this nigga, man, cock diesel looking motherfucker, all calves and all. I'm not gay or anything, but I was doing a lot of inspecting. But I was so annoyed on how fucking. So I'm 50. I don't look 50. But when you see me doing exercise, yeah, this dude, like when I, anything that involves having to like get on the floor and get back up, oh my God. Thank God there's no cameras. Like it's hard for me to not beat up on myself to be like, yo, it's over. Anyways, it was killing me how this dude is like skipping around doing exercise. Oh, you don't have any knee problems, do you? And I'm like, but I remember spending my time hating the dude. I don't know him personally, but I'm like, I was looking at him like, you represent everything I'm supposed to be. It was the one session where I couldn't turn off that part that was trying to, that was like comparing. Oh, why aren't you like him? Why aren't you got like that, man? How embarrassing. Anyways, I don't have a conclusion because all this shit is off the dome, a great conclusion. But, oh, well, I guess I should bring up that in 2 weeks I'm going to be, another reason why I'm going on my trip to Mexico is I'm going on my birthday week. Again, doing it solo. I don't know if I'm going to do, it depends. Depends how Mexico goes, but maybe next time we'll see. I'm not saying I hate solo trips, but it is, I'm not saying I hate solo trips, but it is going to be the second birthday that I spend alone. And depending how it goes, maybe I'll stick to it, but who knows? Maybe I'll stick to it or maybe I'll change, but we'll see. But that's the beauty about it. I get to make the choice. I mean, I love the fact that I could afford this trip. I love the fact that I have to worry about some fucking crime. What do you mean? What about the kids? Fuck them kids. I don't have to say fuck them kids. I love the fact I don't have to be, I'm not going to be an irresponsible parent by going to this thing. And another joy of being old is you can make this. I have a friend who, she's in the same boat. Like, we're just grown-ups, fucking grown-ups. And fuck it, man. Yo, I'm having breakfast for lunch. I'm eating cereal for dinner. I'm going to put a kitchen table in the middle of my living room. Why? Because it's my goddamn place. This is where I also get the attitude of, it's my goddamn podcast. It's because it's your life. Do what you like. I ain't gotta run. Fuck it. I'm putting my bed in the living room. I don't give a fuck. Cause I fucking can. Do you know what I mean? It's like no one to answer to. I don't know. I guess I'm out of points, but okay. Well, one last point is I don't regret not having kids. I don't regret not having kids. What I'm going to say is the person I was prior to therapy, second round of therapy, if I did have kids, I think I would have spent the rest of my life bitching about it. If I did have a family, I would have been that guy with the wife. Who knows? Maybe I would have changed. I'm making a lot of assumptions. I understand that, but I think I'm just trying to say that I feel like, as hard as it for to admit to myself, that I'm on the journey to being a better person. That's what I'm getting at. I'm gonna leave it at that. So yeah. So be merry, be old, whatever. But this is it, man. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. By the way, that's what I do on this podcast, man. I don't offer answers. I don't give answers. I'm just thinking shit through. I'm hoping to spark conversation. And this is where I tell you about website at shutuppodcast.com and email address right in with your thoughts, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Again, if you're mean, I'm not going to read it or whatever. Again, sparking conversation. I'm trying to have a conversation here. Just try to talk, all right? Just asking questions here. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
By the way, I noticed that, I don't know if I mentioned this already. I may have mentioned how I saw the Chappelle show or Chappelle recent comedy special. and he starts his show, his specials with, "This is protected by the red, the black, and the green." I just want to say that, no, I'm not copying from him. It just so happens that me and him are big fans of the X-Clan and found a way to honor them in our current art. So yeah, I'm not biting, I swear. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to big groups. Excuse me. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for anyone who heard Big Rube, who felt it when Big Rube asked the question,
"Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast?" They felt it and said, "Hell yeah, I am." This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to do that with Whitey, then fuck you too. Oh, one last thing. If at any point in this podcast, in this episode, you found yourself saying, "Man, that was a stupid topic," or "I love the topic, but why the fuck did he say it that way?" Or "I hate his accent," or "I hate this usage of the English language," or "Qu'il a pas si parlé en français," I just want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than-